Blog Talk Radio.
What you gonna play now?
Bobby, I don't know. But whatever I play, it's got to be funky.
Yeah.
One, two, three, make it funky.
Make it funky.
Huh.
Make it funky.
I got to
make it funky. Make it funky.
Hotel guest next to Vegas Shooter's Blue Investigation Wide Open what he saw. The city of Las Vegas became a gruesome crime scene 3 days ago and was being dubbed the deadliest mass shooting on U.S. soil. 64-year-old Stephen Paddock holed himself up in a casino hotel room with 10 guns. He shot down on concert goers below, massacring 50 and wounding 527 others. Frustratingly, there seemed more questions than answers at this point involving the shooter motive. Now the narrative of the case has been blown wide open after a man who was staying next door to the shooter in Manly Bay coming forward with disturbing the whips while the massacre was carried out by supposedly when France took calls began to pour into 9/11 that night with news of an actual taking place at a concert near the hotel. Initial eyewitnesses claimed that there were multiple shooters firing down upon the crowd. But for some reason, the mainstream media keeps pushing the narrative that there was only one shooter involved, even mounting evidence is starting to indicate otherwise. Australian Ryan Hunt was sitting in the room next to Paddock that fateful night, and what he witnessed is destroying media's narrative that the massacre involved only one shooter. After hearing gunfire coming from the floor, Hodge rushed out right in behind the bushes and called for help. Hodge said something shocking. Certainly this massacre was not carried out by Stephen Beckham. There were multiple people and multiple shooters. It was just waiting for police to come get us. We were in the bushes outside waiting for the police. Adding, it was a machine gun from the room next to me. My floor, the crime scene. They kept a security guard on my floor. Hodge isn't the only person who believes there were more than one shooter that carried out the massacre. Many people are feeling uneasy about the official story that's being pushed, and are starting to suspect there's something extremely fishy with the narrative the mainstream media is telling everyone. Why would an accountant with no criminal history, who according to his own family, didn't even like guns, suddenly decide to commit the worst mass casualty shooting in the United States history? Even Republican Senator Greg Gutti is scoffing at the narrative this was carried out by a lone shooter. An unproven theory currently being circulated by someone claiming to be an FBI agent downright choked and supports the theory that there was in fact more than one shooter. In an email that was supposedly sent by an FBI agent seeking to remain anonymous, the text revealed that conspiracy given Gotti-level proportions. The shooter was actually an FBI agent who was involved in a gun-running scheme similar to what happened in Libya. It didn't go as planned. A screenshot of the email lit low, through the streets. The MPD was voted behind the attack, but the FBI will not allow us to release a motive because it implicates the FBI in illegal arms deals and supplying them to ISIS terrorists with the U.S. borders. Stephen Paddock was an FBI agent who participated in multiple illegal arms deals in the Las Vegas area, gun running and entrapment scheme similar to Fast and Furious. Paddock thought he was engaged in another routine arms transfer, but ISIS operatives who were to meet him learned about the entrapment scheme and Paddock's true identity. They killed him and carried a massacre and then fled the scene. The email included that people within the police department are disgusted and are pushing for this information to be released to the public. While this email cannot be confirmed as being written by an actual FBI agent at this time, this theory makes perfect sense. It's entirely possible that this was a gun running thing gone wrong, and once I realized they were being set up, they decided to retaliate. Responsibility for the attack, although they wouldn't provide any proof as to why. After targeting Las Vegas, perhaps ISIS had the opportunity to finally carry out an attack after being double-crossed by an FBI agent. Back in May, ISIS released a 44-minute-long video of this trip in Las Vegas, calling on their supporters to carry out attacks on this area. The 44-minute-long video released in May showed footage of the Las Vegas Strip from 2015, calling on its supporters to conduct attacks with knives and vehicles, everyday weapons that its supporters have already used many times over the past several years, newly reported. The footage also showed New York City and Washington, D.C. What do you all think? Was there more than one year? Was this massive retaliation of a gun-run team and to ISIS that went horribly wrong? We need to keep demanding answers, because it's become apparent that the mainstream media is pushing an agenda, and we all know that the media's agenda is never to report the truth or for the benefit of the American people.
DJ Khaled! Pat him down, count the money, let him see the work. Yeah, that's the definition of a major key alert. Another nigga gotta die, won't be the first, nah, won't be the last. All we see is cash, yeah. Your real story don't match what you rapping about, liar. Keep the movies in, stop acting out. And I ain't talking about no watch or no cars neither. Everything will get copped at a law's leash. Was a crack monster, I had that hard fever. Switched from the ball head to the dark season. Used to be the capsules, now they love the plastic, yeah. I ain't trying to get caught up in this thug rap shower. Rather be bumper to bumper in drug traffic. Cash on deck whenever the plug has kids. You don't sweat the small things, they become drastic. Yeah. Next thing is cremation or a casket. Fuck falling back. What? I need all of that. I need my name in the cocaine almanac. Yeah, real dope boy, put me in the hall of smack. Went to job interviews, they ain't call us back.
drops the words off of evergreen.
Ever
made it, cause we the best, find a better reason.
First thing first, don't you ever play yourself.
Ever.
Oh, another thing, I ain't never play myself.
Never.
Even when they all changed up, I say myself.
Me.
They would work for me, then bossed up and paid myself. See, I'm showing up a K off, get on early a day off. Still got that work, I don't know about no layoff.
Nah.
Team still ballin', so I guess we in the playoffs. Team full of baddies, all my bitches in the sleigh off. See, we be in the party, wait, no part of fake shit. Nothing but love around me. Cardi bracelet, I feel like Frank White walking in the Artie Clay shit. You niggas got fat while everybody starved. My city don't sleep, I ain't never nodding off. When you're in the bins, it piss everybody off. So I ain't stall, I do me, I ain't y'all. This New York nigga, let him hang, giant ball. Odell Beckham, respect him, you can't check him. Blindside hoes hit me when I don't.
Everybody y'all, so I ain't y'all. This New York nigga, let him hang, giant ball.
This is the Marty Smith Show, taking it closer.
I don't know the crisis actors on scene, and we'll get to that. But this is an absolute tragedy. These people were killed. There were hundreds of people shot. From multiple locations, from in my opinion, multiple shooters. We'll talk about that in a second too. But just to put all this in the bed for everybody who believes this is like some sort of crazy, you know, that.
What I'm gonna do right here is take my time and dedicate this one to my niggas resting in peace.
The grass is greener.
187 ain't shit but a misdemeanor.
I seen a lot of niggas come up, a few niggas done up. Some rest in peace with the khaki heavy grease, but it's a east side thing, a who right thing.
Cause if we bang to the boogie, then we boogie to the bang.
I'll bring you the motherfucking 38.
Just get the MC.
To my niggas resting in peace, and my niggas behind the wall. See you when I get there. You know what I'm saying? So drip with me as I go down memory lane.
Boy, is it loony where the grass is greener.
187 ain't shit but a misdemeanor.
I seen a lot of niggas come up, a few niggas done up. Some rest in peace with the khaki heavy grease, but it's a east side thing, a who right thing.
Cause if we bang to the boogie, then we boogie to the bang.
I'll bring you the motherfucking 38.
Just get the MC and the homie Nate so we can fly,
flippity slide as I take you on a trip, nigga, ride.
Do you remember back on the east side? More, I just don't give a fuck. So if you're thinking about coming and stepping to me, keep this in mind, I'm a motherfucking OG.
Let's beat the clock up and pass some time. June 17th, 1979. That's my first time being arrested. I know I did the crime, but I ain't gonna confess to this shit. I learned that from the G. A G is an overseer, the overseer sees more than you do cause he is experienced. And besides, I'm just a juvenile delinquent. 4 hours gone and I'm on my way home. My mama's coming to get me in the Fleetwood Broom. She puts a jacket on my back and hands me a cone. We stop at Frosty Breeze for a couple of snow cones. She telling me that I didn't need to do what I done. She said slinging football should be the only fun, son. I'm like a ice, so we head to the house. I mob through the door and pop fire to the mouth. I couldn't do nothing but cry like a bitch. I looked at my mama and said, damn, why you snitch? They put me on punishment, but that didn't work. Now I'm wearing khakis, wallabies, and a t-shirt, and throwing up the neighborhood gang sign. I do my first robbery, and now I gotta do time.
My homie told me one day he had a nice move. He said, come on, Nate, dog, it'll be smooth. I agreed and said, come on, let's go and jack some food. Next day, we went draped in the
Yeah.